This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
It's got an email from Breaking Tea. They make T-shirts. You can get a Jackson Merrill shirt. The promo code is snubbed. Merrill Madness shirt, Merrill with his face on there, and use the promo code snubbed. You can get 15% off.
Always looking to take advantage of marketing opportunities.
I know that you do like a good deal. Thought that was funny.
They probably would have also had a promo code had he won today.
Yeah.
We're looking to take advantage. Probably more so we're looking to take advantage of a win in the Rookie of the Year to sell a bunch of Jackson Merrill. And this is the backup plan.
Yeah.
All right. Snubbed. Promo code snubbed instead.
I like it. Petty. Like me. Polly?
Let's just get right to it.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right.
We doing anything for World Toilet Day today, Paulie?
I actually had a story.
Oh, did you?
I did. I wasn't going to even... I was trying to find a Rondo Report story. I guess we can just start with that instead of Monday Night Football and the Texans' 34-10 win
throttling
over the Cowboys. It said... I was reading a story that said doctors are telling us now that the average amount of time that you spend on the toilet should be within 5 to 10, the 5 to 10 minute range.
Each time.
Yes. I mean, you can go faster. That's okay.
Yeah.
But do we all have that problem every once in a while where you open up your phone?
Yes.
And you just end up sitting there for like 15 minutes, 20 minutes?
It's really comes in handy when you have kids. And you can be like, I gotta go to the bathroom, sorry. And you run in and hide. I hid.
Oh, when the kids were little.
I hid a lot.
We would actually fight about how long each of us would retreat to the restroom.
It's a sanctuary.
When you've gotta go, you've gotta go.
It's a sanctuary.
Yeah.
It's truly the place where I get the most done. Or the place where I just... It's the place, like in Point Break, it's the place where you lose yourself and you find yourself. That's what Heath says about the ocean. That's how I feel about the crapper. You lose yourself and find yourself.
Now, what's the argument from doctors? If you're spending too much time...
I didn't read the whole story because I didn't know...
Can lead to health
complications.
Realize
it was World Toilet Day.
Yeah, it is.
The one part of it that I did read, though, was physically. Like, when you're sitting on the porcelain throne, you're sitting a little bit lower than if you were like sitting on a couch, and it's causing the blood to like rush through. You're pumping more blood to circulate through your legs, so you don't fall. Your legs fall asleep. You ever done that?
Yes.
Get up
absolutely,
and you almost fall over.
Absolutely.
That was one of the main reasons.
I've also had where the cheeks kind of get pinched a little bit. I don't know. Do you have padded seats or just
we have a heated seat?
Oh wow!
It's the bidet. It's that comes with the thing and. When it's cold and you run out there in the morning and you sit down and you're like, oh, this is it. I've made it. I've truly made it.
Yeah, with gravity pulling the lower half of the body down, the increased pressure affects your blood circulation. So you want to just be in that 5 to 10 minute range.
How do your cheeks get pinched?
just by the where the seat kind of turns. And well, I mean, if you're just kind of shifting a little bit.
Why are you shifting the whole time?
I'm not shifting the whole time, but occasionally, because you don't want your feet, your leg to fall asleep. When your leg starts falling asleep, and then you have to move a little bit, and then when you move, then your cheeks can get pinched a little.
In the
like the edge, the crevice.
You farted!
Because you said, hey, you know when your cheeks get pinched, and I said, yes, but I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know how you pinch your cheeks.
Somehow it just happens, I think. I don't know.
Number two.
Ouch. I'm hurting.
All right.
The lady. Good.
That was not planned in the slightest. All right. Get ready. Juan Soto meeting with the Dodgers today.
Let's do it.
This came from Aldin Gonzalez, ESPN. Him and Mark Feinsand both reporting that, the Dodgers are, in fact, planning to meet with Juan Soto today. Aldin Gonzalez wrote, it would be absurd of them to follow a billion-dollar offseason with a $600 million-plus contract.
That's just for one guy. They still got three more guys they can go get. They can do back-to-back billion-dollar off-seasons.
Them already announcing before they even scheduled the meeting with Soto that Mookie Betts was no longer going to play right field. I'm like, you mother.
I know. Yeah, it does beg the question. I have seen so many...
You go out and get Soto, and then you say we're moving Mookie Betts.
I have seen so many... I saw a Dodger fan tweet last night, please, God, don't let us get Juan Soto. And I'm reading that going, what? And the logic was, well, if we get Soto, we can't have Teoscar Hernandez. I'm like, are you effing kidding me?
God.
There's nobody on the planet that would take Teoscar Hernandez. That's the afterglow of winning a World Series. And Teoscar's a great player. But he ain't Juan Soto.
Clearly, it's an upgrade from Teoscar Hernandez to Juan Soto. But you're also messing with, you know...
You're not. You're adding
the chemistry and everything that won you a World Series.
You're not.
Teoscar was a big part of their World Series title.
You know who else?
I can understand why Dodgers fans might want Teoscar Hernandez back.
Okay, you know what? They could have Teoscar Hernandez back.
But you're not
and
getting
Juan
it.
Why
Soto.
Not both?
You could have both in a heartbeat.
Would Teoscar Hernandez want to sign if he wasn't going to have playing time, though?
He can play left. Soto plays right.
Okay.
Mookie's already moving back to the
That's
infield.
That's true. Mookie is
and
moving back to the infield.
Edmonds, your okay. center fielder, yeah. and you're good.
I wouldn't even have thought of it as a one or the other.
By the way, if it's one or the other, you take Juan Soto every time. Not 75% of the time. 100% of the time.
John Heyman also reporting that Juan Soto is still planning to meet with the Phillies. But has not done so yet, and that they are definitely interested in Juan Soto.
It's weird. I want the Dodgers to get Soto. I want them to get him. Just go. If you're going to do it, just do it. It would make. Not
I would
saying it.
I
not
saying it for $200 million.
Not saying it will. It would make it that much sweeter.
I wouldn't beat him. I wouldn't complain about it.
No.
I'd respect it.
Yeah, I mean, they're spending
if
money.
If they can afford it and they can go out and pay for Juan Soto, then go ahead and do it.
Yep.
Honestly, if I'm a Dodgers fan and they don't sign Juan Soto, I'm wondering why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Every report this offseason is that their signing of Shohei Ohtani has been so incredibly financially successful
lucrative.
That they don't even know what to do with all the money they're making.
They are bathing in... Andrew Friedman, after the World Series, this can't be confirmed, but he was lighting cigars with $100 bills. Remember in Castaway when he finally learns how to make fire and he's throwing all of that onto the fire? That's what he was doing with actual cash. They have so much money to burn in L.A. right now. If I'm a Dodger fan, I'm livid that we don't go out and get Juan Soto. He's out there. Why wouldn't you go get him? You're paying Shohei $2 million.
It's a position you need to fill.
Yeah.
He's the best possible person to fill it. You have the most money of anyone in the sport.
Why wouldn't you get him? Unless you don't care about winning.
It's about as easy of a 1 + 1 = 2 as you're going to get in the offseason.
I mean, unless you hate winning, you should go get him.
Or you can say, hey, we just won a World Series. We're going to sell out every game next year. We don't need to spend. We're just going to rake in the profits even more next year.
Lisa says Soto wants money. Guess what? They got money. They got money to burn. I mean, at this point, I take him. Go get him. Go ahead. Let's go. still got to play the games. And you still, I mean, look, even your World Series was really impressive that you had three pitchers that basically got it done for you. You know, I mean, it just goes to show you anything can happen. And, yeah, I mean, he would make their team better. He's going to make any team he joins better. He's a superstar player. So, yeah, they got money. If they cared about winning, they would go get Juan Soto.
Stay tuned. We'll find out.
That's right. Today, huh?
That's today.
What's their pitch? Here you go. I mean, it kind of speaks for itself.
Remember that team that just beat you in the World Series? How'd you like to join them?
How'd you like to join us? If you can't beat us, join us.
I'm curious. I'd love to know, like, when we're talking money like that, the organization like that, do they fly him out to L.A. and give him the Hollywood treatment?
He's already here, isn't he? Yeah, he's been meeting with everybody here.
I think he's at Boris's.
At Boris Corp.
Okay. At Boris Corp.
I didn't know if they were flying to him, if he was already here.
Is that in Orange County? Where is he?
I think so.
Yeah, somewhere in Orange County.
Yeah, St. Blovis just says, gestures broadly. That's your pitch. Here you go. You want to play with Shohei? You want to play with Mookie and Freddie? And yeah, I think
everything the light touches is your
kid. It could end up being one of those weird things where he does this big song and dance, right, with everyone. And it gets down to it, and money's pretty similar in all places, and he just goes, screw it, man. I'll join them.
Now, what they won't tell you, but is true, if you join the Dodgers and you have an incredible season, and we go to Game 7 of the World Series, and we lose it in heartbreaking fashion, you failed. It's a failure of a season. If you come to the Dodgers and we don't win the World Series pretty much every year,
it's a failure.
It's a big-time failure. It's a lot of pressure if you go to the Dodgers and take that money there, in particular this season.
But he likes pressure.
He's not afraid of it.
Nope. It's a no-brainer.
All right, finally, kind of went in reverse order. We did the toilet talk first. Do have one more sports story. Now, this was I thought this was interesting because I was led to believe, falsely apparently, that I got an email yesterday from Front Wave Arena.
My beloved Front Wave Arena.
Woodsy's beloved basketball Woods.
Simply the best.
And it had a big red link, buy tickets for your San Diego Clippers. And there was a picture. It said November 20th. That would be tomorrow night.
Yes.
The South Bay Lakers versus the San Diego Clippers right here in San Diego up in Oceanside. And I had a picture of Cam Christie in the Clippers uniform and Bronny James in the purple and gold South Bay Lakers. Of course, why wouldn't you market Bronny James?
Correct.
But we talked about this, I don't know, last week or 2 weeks ago. The Lakers said Bronny James is not traveling with the G League team.
Yeah.
He will be kind of split between the Lakers and the South Bay Lakers.
Yep.
He's not doing the road trips at all with the G League team. He may be back on the road with the big squad on those trips, but he was not going to be playing. So I saw this email and I go, well, that's kind of like, is that like false advertising? Like, we already know Bronny's not going to be there. Kind of messed up when it says, you know, the first of three thrilling matchups. Bronny James, November 20th, the South Bay Lakers featuring Bronny James.
Yeah.
And I sent this over to you guys. I go, what the hell is this? And then Ben said, some news.
So I was watching the game on Sunday night, on Your View. Steve Quiss, good guy, was calling the Clippers game. And he did say during the broadcast that the Lakers have said that Bronny will be coming down for this game in particular tomorrow night. Now,
I think that's probably a little bit newsworthy. If you were on the fence, if you were thinking about getting tickets and you're like, well, I want to go because I want to, if I'm going to go, I want to see Bronny.
I mean, officially, I don't know if they've made an announcement. The coach of the South Bay Lakers, Zach Guthrie, said the availability was being discussed for Wednesday night's game. It's been a controversy. There are people in basketball going, you can't treat him with the kid gloves and not put him on the road in G League games. And, you know, he's got to get a full rounded experience, you know, in his first season of pro basketball. But at least what I heard when I was watching is that they are under the impression they have been led to believe that Bronny's playing. Whether he does or not, that'll be a Lakers decision. That's always up in the air. I mean, Lakers could have an injury and then call him up.
Yeah,
And then they wouldn't play him. Any G League player is always pretty much a game time decision. But there is talk that LeBron James's son will be playing in Oceanside tomorrow. But don't put it on me. I'm not promising it.
I'm putting it on you.
Passing along what I heard.
Send out an audiogram. Post the audiogram. Ben Higgins says Bronny will play.
By the way, he's averaging, I believe, 0.3 points per game in the G League. So
that's killer.
What? I mean, you're not going to see What are you going to see exactly?
You're going to see Mike Tyson against Jake Paul. That's you're going for the spectacle of seeing Bronny James, I think.
I mean, you
point
can,
three. I'm pretty sure Bo could average.
There's a
point
chance
three.
You could be in the same building
as LeBron
the son
James's kid
of LeBron James.
All right.
How much that
second
does
round draft?
How
pick.
Much that does for you is a personal decision of being in the same building as well, LeBron James and maybe seeing him score
for
a point or two or not.
His first G League game, tickets were like $200, $250 just
insane.
To get in the door. So don't tell me the demand isn't there.
My argument, if you want to go to the San Diego Clippers game, it's basketball. They're a pretty good team. I think they're 3-1 so far. It's high-paced. Games take about 2 hours to play. It's like fast basketball. And these guys are just a hair's, you know, short of NBA talent at this point. You're not going to see that anywhere else in San Diego.
It's true.
That's the reason to go to a G League game.
And
to
check out the new beautiful Front Wave Arena.
Yes.
Why Front Wave Arena? Simply the best.
Not necessarily being under the same roof for a couple of hours with the kid of a famous basketball player.
I don't know, man. There's something about being in a basketball game with celebrities. My wife lost her mind. She's texting me pictures every 5 minutes from the garden. This Jazz Chisholm over there. I'm like, Jazz Chisholm? All right. She's like, Mark Vientos is here. I'm like, okay. You're in New York. Now, I will say, when she sent me the picture of Ben Stiller, I did go, ooh, wow, Ben Stiller.
Spike Lee?
Well, obviously. Remember, does he ever miss a game?
She sent me a picture of Clyde Frazier. And she said, who is this? Magic Johnson? I should have let her run with it and said, yes, it's Magic Johnson, but it was Clyde Frazier.
She's seen him on television somewhere. And
she's just, like, I know this face.
I've seen this face on TV before.
Yeah, babe, it's Magic Johnson. It was hysterical. But I kind of get it, like the celeb and the allure of wanting to go. 0.2 points, huh?
0.3, I think.
0.3.
Put some respect on his name.
Wow.
Been a slow start to his pro career.
It happens.
But we all knew that that was going to be the truth.
Is that like one basket?
Yeah, like one basket and three, like 1 point in three games or something.
God.
Averaged out to a third of a point.
God.
Per game.
Poor kid. Never had a chance, man. All right, we'll calls.
We'll come back.
So sports.
Oh, the Jets just fired their GM. We'll break it down for you next.
Nice. On San Diego's number one sports station.
Name the Jets GM.
Mike Tannenbaum.
Nope.
That was a guess.
It would be wrong.
On San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fam. Best wishes to Landon Donovan. The San Diego Wave announcing yesterday that they have parted ways, I guess, with their interim head coach. I don't know. Can you fire a coach who's not actually your head coach? He wasn't fired. They thanked him for his service to the club, but made it clear that he is not going to be the permanent head coach and that they are in the process of naming a new head coach very soon for the Wave, but it's not going to be Landon Donovan.
Yeah, the interim position is always a weird one. You've been interim radio host.
I have.
I've been part-time before, but I knew I was part-time, and they parted ways with me they gave me a contract that was embarrassing that, you know, a 12-year-old would get for working at a deli after a year of, you know, whatever they needed me to do. So I actually was like, no, thanks. Thanks, but no thanks. So with Landon, though, do you think there was any sliver where he's like, well, kind of hope I keep the job?
It could be either way. He certainly seemed enthusiastic about the job, but that's part of the job, is acting enthusiastic
about
the job.
Does them issuing that statement write him off as not going to be in consideration for the full-time
job? I believe that was the point that they were making, that it's not going to be Landon.
They discussed it with him.
If they were going to hire Landon, they wouldn't have released a statement thanking him for his service and saying, we're about to hire a new head coach.
We'd like to put you back through the process. Can you resubmit your resume?
They just would have hired him.
Right.
You know, it could very well be a Landon like, hey, this was fun, but I don't think it's for me full time. Or it could have been the Wave going, hey, we appreciate what you did, but, you know, it's not the direction we want to go. I have no idea what the decision making process on that is, but I like Landon. We've had him on the show before.
Great dude, man.
And I certainly wish him the best of luck. He remains a huge figure in the world of, you know, U.S. soccer and will always be so going forward.
No doubt.
He will, I'm sure, have another project after doing the Loyal and the Wave. Maybe here in San Diego, maybe elsewhere.
SDFC, he's just going to bounce to each.
Yeah, you know, whatever Landon's going to do going forward. Speaking of the interim, it's funny you brought that up. For some reason, I was searching for something on Twitter yesterday, and my own name came up. And I'm trying to remember what it was, but
Ben Higgins, sexiest man alive.
It was from my days as an interim morning show host when we were before you had joined me and we had our show, and I was still filling in with general people. And I had not even, does anyone remember that they used to call it the Big Effin' Deal Morning Show with Ben Higgins and Joe Tutino? Apparently that was a thing that I didn't even remember. It was like a promo tweet for the show.
Are you
coming up today?
Are you effing kidding me?
The Big Effin' Deal Morning Show with Ben Higgins and Joe Tutino.
Did you, when you signed on, were you like, hey, everybody, it's the Big Effin' Deal?
I don't remember this at all. Does anyone else remember this?
You are joking.
I remember that.
Were you producing, Paulie?
Yeah. Wait, was this when it was you and me for like a couple of months?
Yeah, it might have been.
Right before Ben and Woods?
Like I'm saying, I don't
what's the date on it?
I don't. It was 2008, right? The beginning of 2018.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right before we started our show.
Yeah, Ben came in and was working the Christmas week, Christmas to New Year's, couple shows.
Yeah.
I stuck around. I didn't go anywhere for the holidays because I was, it's a good opportunity to.
I work with Carl DeMaio over here. Yeah.
Cut my teeth a little bit.
Yeah.
And then January 1, we were off that day, going back to work January 2nd, and found out that the previous full-time host had left.
Was coming over here.
Was actually coming over here.
To do the machine.
And, he was generous enough to let everybody know on less than 24 hours notice.
Yep. Yeah.
And,
is that the year he gave you a $25 check?
It was right
for
after
Christmas?
That. Yeah, it was the week after that.
Yeah, here's the tweet. Tune in at 8:40 this morning on the Mighty 1090 as USD coach Lamont Smith joins Ben Higgins and Joe Tutino on the Big Effin' Deal Morning Show to talk USD men's basketball in a big game tonight.
That's a tweet.
At the JCP against number 6 Gonzaga. I was searching for Gonzaga something, and that came up in my feed. And I'm going, did we really call it the Big Effin' Deal Morning Show? Because that wouldn't have been my choice to name my own show.
I'm more
for
offended
sure.
That you tweeted out that the USD head coach was going to be on, and that was your big promo tweet.
Well, we had like a partnership with them, remember, at the time.
Gonzaga, so,
too. Gonzaga was, they were number 6 in the country, and they were coming to town, so it was a decent story for that day. But
I see. There's one of my tweets. Today on the Big Effing Deal Morning Show with Ben Higgins and Derek Togerson, 6:30, we had Sekou Smith from the NBA to cover the NBA. Shout out to his family. Nate Davis from USA Today, talk a little NFL football. Yep. I remember Nate. Some golfer from the Farmers Insurance Open and Scott Miller to talk baseball. January 24th, 2018.
You are unbelievable. Look at you. How bad?
This one's even better. The next day?
The next day. I can do this. I can do this for the next hour. I'm not kidding.
Okay, so I do believe.
I need all the big effing deals that I can get.
I do believe this was right around Hall of Fame induction announcement day.
Early in the year in 2018. Yep.
And Trevor Hoffman was going in.
There
so
we go.
We had at 6:10 a.m. on January 25th, 2018.
10 minutes of foreplay.
The director of communications for the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Okay.
And he was, I think, probably giving us an update or congratulating Trevor. I don't remember. We had Goose, Rick Gosselin, talking a little NFL at
Dallas
6:30.
Dallas Morning News.
At 6:30. Yeah. So 6:10, 6:30.
He was a regular.
7:05, we had Kathy McCarthy.
Go
and
Kathy.
She was like the CEO of Meat Minneapolis.
It's a meat distributor.
No, like M-E-E-T.
Not M-E-A-T.
Because the Super Bowl was in Minneapolis, and our whole station would be going out there, so we're like, what's going to be happening in Minneapolis in 2 weeks?
Do you guys ever just get on your knees and thank God for me, both of you? Do you ever just thank God that I came into your lives?
And then at 8:05, we had Brad Ausmus on, so again, more Trevor Hoffman.
Well, Brad Ausmus is a good guest.
Meet Minneapolis.
I remember that. I do remember that 100%.
I hate
now.
To admit it, but yes, I get on my knees and I thank my lucky stars that I got to meet you, Woodsy, and we get to do this together.
I got you out of that life.
Hey, to be fair, if I looked at some of the rundowns from Ben and Woods for the first year,
yeah.
they weren't much better. They were six guests because it was jammed down our throats.
Not my choice, though.
NFL. Oh, the Browns are playing Thursday Night Football.
I guess we should be thanking Adam is the person we should really be thanking.
Now we have no guests and we talk toilets.
Yeah.
You know, for segments on end
that
on
is
this program.
Meet Minneapolis. I will never forget. I wonder how Kathy's doing right now. You're unbelievable. Look how giddy he is, too.
I'm pretty sure.
6'10", 6'30", 6'50", 7'20", 7'45", 8'15".
Bro, the show I worked on before that with the guy who had so little talent that he would book a guest for every single segment.
Every segment.
By the way, sometimes two guests in one segment.
Really?
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Because he would double book, and I'd be like, "Hey, moron, what do you want me to do here?" And he goes, "All right, we're gonna call this person at 8:35.
Tell them to hold,
and then we'll go to traffic. We're gonna wrap it around. We'll do a little donut. We'll do traffic in between. We'll do two interviews in one segment."
The thought of it makes me sick to my stomach.
The thought of having to talk for 10 minutes without a guest gave that guy.
I kind of want
to
hear Woods interviewing Kathy from Meet Minneapolis and just hear how it's going to go.
The big effing deal. I need find as many of those as you can. We'll be right back. It's Ben and Woods.
Last segment coming up next year.
Welcome back to the Big Effing Deal Morning Show here on 97.3 The Fan. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul. That's Ben. Does not have a really good ring to it. And I'm so surprised that my co-host over here signed off on a show that he was a part of called The Big Effing Deal. Effing or effing?
We're not sure.
Both.
Paul says he's
seen both. Seeing both.
Effing and effing.
Well done. Well done on the marketing side.
I think you may be under the mistaken impression that I had sign-off authority on anything.
Yeah, you're just happy to be there. You're interim.
If I even have it now at this point, I'm not sure that I do have sign-off authority on anything.
You have a vote.
I have a vote, but I can constantly get outvoted 2-1. We have a imbalance of power.
Well, because if I didn't overrule you, we'd be having Kathy Donahue from Meet Minneapolis on the air.
Kathy McCarthy
from Meet Minneapolis. N.M. McKee says, I'll be in Minneapolis on Sunday.
See, that would be a very timely and informative interview then.
It didn't get much better for a while. It took a while for things to improve, I should say. Because even on Ben and Woods, like on February 7th, 2019, we're almost a year in at this point. And we were still putting out stuff like, why is Kevin Durant so upset? Will we see fireworks at today's NBA trade deadline? Talking all things basketball with NBA senior writer Steve Ashburner now.
Was I there at all?
Think you were.
Was I there?
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe you signed off on that, Woods.
Relox says, you guys got to get Kathy on the show when the Padres go to play the Twins in August of 2025. All right, I'll make you a deal. If she's still there, and I remember, we will absolutely get her on.
They put together like a Super Bowl committee for each city when it gets announced.
Yeah.
I think it was like a short-term position.
Yeah, that's true.
She's gone now. She's moved on to other pastures.
She's in Meet Denver now.
Meet Omaha.
Oh, man. Good times.
All right, one more check of traffic. I got a little bit.
We had Merrill Hodge on.
Oh, my God.
Radio Row.
I'm going to throw up.
Guys, that was all Woods.
CTE is not real. It just doesn't exist. Here's this pamphlet that proves it. Merrill, what about the countless people that have been studied for CTE? It's all BS, man.
Woods coming over from music radio and still learning the ropes on sports radio. We told him, hey, man, so when you go out to the Super Bowl, because you were by yourself in, where was that, Atlanta?
Atlanta.
You were by yourself. Ben and I were back in the studio. We were doing everything remotely. We had arranged for the typical sports radio row guests to come by. We said, hey, they're all going to be hawking some sort of beef jerky, CBD water. Let them plug it. But at the end, if it's a 10-minute interview, do 8 minutes on whatever.
I thought I was doing eight minutes on the CBD water.
We were like, do 8 to 9 minutes on the game. And then at the end, hey, by the way, what are you promoting?
Because like, if a music star came on, the Black Keys are joining me right now. I'd ask them about their new record, what they're there to promote. So Merrill Hodge was promoting that CTE isn't real. And he gave me a pamphlet.
Very passionate on the subject.
He was so passionate. I'm like, Merrill, I disagree. He's like, well, look at this. It's a 3-page pamphlet. it was like an STD pamphlet that you open up. It was like, why STDs are bad for you.
All right, welcome back to the Mighty 1090. Jeff Garcia is here. Jeff, tell us about this hemp water. We're like, no, wait till the end. No. And then he's like, oh, you want me to the whole 10
now,
minutes?
All right.
Sounds good.
Adam says, just you wait. I'm sending you to Super Bowl Radio as punishment for making fun of me throughout the year. Bro, it would absolutely be punishment. Where is it this year?
New Orleans.
Oh, never mind. We'll go.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go. We'll have fun. We would have a blast.
Woods was the marketing department's dream. Like, we're paying the celebrity endorser a lot of money, and hopefully he can wedge in a mention of our product.
No.
And then Woods shows up, and he turns the entire thing into a 10-minute infomercial.
I remember Pete from Point Loma, who's a legendary sports radio listener in this town. I remember him tweeting, man, I hate Radio Row because all they do is just promote stuff. And I remember writing him back going, Pete, it's me, dude. It's going to be different. We'll have a blast out there this year. Sure enough, man, I'm on there, hemp water and CBD cream.
January 10th, 2019. This was, again, 8 months in. So we're still hadn't gotten better because we wrote, what is next for USC football? We'll dive into this week's drama with @InsideTroy, who joins us next on the Mighty 1090.
Everyone thinks they can change the system from the inside. Like, I'll be different.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl is an unchangeable system, I think.
I beg you, Adam, to send us to New Orleans this year. That would be a blast.
What a punishment that would be.
All the San Diego Fleet interviews are killing me.
Oh, please don't send us to New Orleans. Whatever you do, Adam, that would be the worst punishment possible.
I would just get hammered and skip every show, like I did at Morning Show Boot Camp in New Orleans. I missed every single one. No, that's fascinating. Yeah, Pete from Point Loma is still online. Love you, Pete. I haven't talked to you in a while. Hope you're doing well.
I do, too. All right, a little Roki Sasaki news before we get going, and we'll share that with you right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. This is a case of, I agree with the message, if not the messenger, but Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic this morning had a fairly detailed piece in which he makes a pretty good point.
Who did?
Ken Rosenthal.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, agree with the message, not necessarily the messenger. But with Roki Sasaki planning to come over to Major League Baseball, and the Padres certainly going to be one of the teams that pursue him, he made the point that whoever signs Roki Sasaki and presumably devotes their, you know, most or all of their international bonus pool to Roki Sasaki, it's a smart move to do that, you know, given his potential talent and immediate impact, that they were going to have to renege on all of the agreements that they've made with the other Latin American prospects.
Ooh, yeah.
That they were going to sign. And, you know, for the Padres or any other team, it's kind of a no-brainer. If Sasaki wants to join your team, then you do that. And you say, all right, we're taking all the money that we were going to give to these seven other guys, and we're going to give it to Roki Sasaki. But now our bonus pool is spent. We can't give it. So what happens to those seven guys who have been, you know, lining up maybe for a year, maybe two, maybe 3 years or more, getting ready to sign with that team? Well, they're free to sign with another team. But guess what? All those other teams have also started allocating their money, and, you know, they may not find a landing spot. They may have to accept way less to just hook on with another organization. And Ken made the argument that it's not really fair to everybody that Roki Sasaki, while should still be subject to the limits maybe of the bonus pool, that they actually should still be allowed to sign their bonus pool other guys that they were going to sign, even if they get Roki Sasaki.
Feels like Ken wants Roki Sasaki to be able to go to the highest bidder, which would let his...
No, he said that he's not 25, so he still should be limited to whatever the $7 million bonus limit.
So, like a Roki Sasaki fund.
But don't punish all the other prospects in Latin America who've been working hard to get this opportunity.
It's a good point.
And all of a sudden have it taken away by Roki Sasaki at the last minute. Now, I don't have a problem with that. If the Padres signed Roki Sasaki and could have their cake and eat it too and sign the crop of international prospects that A.J. Preller and his team have been scouting for, you know, the last several years, that's a win-win. Of course, if you don't get Roki Sasaki, then you're going to say, and that team gets to sign all their prospects as well. So it's, I don't know that it works either way. It's kind of a lose-lose situation. Either a team gets an unfair advantage by signing both Roky Sasaki and all their prospects, or the prospects get unfairly hurt because their agreements get blown up by the fact that Roky Sasaki decided at the last minute, hey, everybody, I'm coming over, and I'm coming over with the international bonus pool, and, you know, woo me now. It's time to convince me to join your team.
Well, so one team's going to spend, call it $7 million, right? Well, that leaves 29 other teams that have $7 million that they can spend on.
Yeah.
On
but there, at the very least, there's going to be a domino effect. The guy that was going to sign with Roky Sasaki's team now bumps to another team.
Right.
The guy that was going to sign that team now has to find another team. There's going to be a chain reaction.
Yeah, somebody will get left out.
Someone's going to get left out at the end. And that's the nature of professional sports. And, you know, you can't draft everybody.
Right.
You can't sign everybody. And Roky Sasaki is clearly, at least has more potential and talent right now than a 16-year-old from, you know, the Dominican Republic or Mexico or wherever that you just, you know, you may project great things for him in 5 or 6 years. Roky's a now player. Roky, you know, pitches for your major league team next year. He may be on an innings limit. You may need to be careful with him, but, you know, he's not a finished product, but he's much more close to that than anyone you'd be signing in your international bonus pool.
Yeah, our buddy Satan's Blowfish says, is Sasaki going to make the decision based on $5.5 million versus $7 million signing bonus after he's already walked away from like $200 million? Right. Yeah, I keep seeing stuff coming out about Roky and the endorsements in L.A. and the endorsements in other places that he could get. And, yeah, it's going to be truly one of the most fascinating things. I mean, look, my gut still tells me I know where he's going to pitch next year, and I think it's probably in L.A. I try to talk myself into the fact that there's not enough pie to go around, but I do feel like there's plenty of pie. It's up to the man's personal desires and wants. Do you want to join the super team, you know, or do you want to stake your own claim?
There's a scenario, because they can afford it, that the Dodgers sign Juan Soto,
yep,
Corbin Burns,
yep,
and Roky Sasaki
and Willie
this
Adamas
offseason. Yeah. And Willie Adamas, yeah.
And Teoscar Hernandez, because why not?
Yeah, strap in for it. I mean, look, in the ramifications of any deal that they sign right now isn't going to hit them for many, many years. So, yeah, guess what? The Dodgers might be hurting, Ben, when I'm 65 years old, and I'm probably doing a podcast in my basement. Yeah. Can you believe it? It's finally come. The Grim Reaper for the Los Angeles Dodgers. The tax man has cometh.
They've won 14 of the last 16 World Series, but now
time to pay the piper, kids. It's your old pal Woods here on the Big Effin' Podcast.
Ohtani money is finally due, and this team is, their long overdue reckoning is finally here.
Yeah. Yeah. When I'm 65, it's going to be great. When Bo will be like 21, he'll be like really getting into his fandom. When he's 21, he's like, Dodgers, man. They don't have all these guys. So, I mean, and yeah, I think, I don't know. Like, I feel like in a market like L.A., he's going to get his endorsements. I feel like in a market here, he can get his endorsements.
I mean, if it was all about endorsements, then,
which is really the only way you can make money. Yeah, go to New York.
Go to New York.
Yeah, you make a ton there.
But it sounds as though that there are other considerations. You know, West Coast, comfort level, things that could work in the favor of the San Diego Padres. Not that they will, but there are certainly some things that could be pointing in the direction of the Padres.
Nate said, little man will have a Dodgers hat on if they win 14 out of 16. Nate, I don't know that you understand the level of hatred my six-year-old already has. It's pretty priceless. He will not wear blue. He will not use a blue plate. Like
How does he feel about New Balance shoes?
He will not wear New Balance. We have a blue in our home. My kids have a Spider-Man plate. One's blue, one's red. He will not use the blue plate. Taylor has to have the blue plate. Bo eats on the red plate. Every single night, he won't have blue anywhere near him. He had to play for a blue soccer team this year. He was devastated.
Would you say that this is a like a naturally occurring phenomenon, or has he been encouraged by his parents, perhaps, to be following this path?
Who would teach their kids such hate? It could not be me. I have no idea. Must be at school with all those hooligans running around at school. So, yeah.
So, anyway, I mean, an interesting point that was brought up. I doubt that Major League Baseball will set the precedent of changing the rules.
Yeah.
just for one player.
They did for Otani. They've changed a couple rules for
him. Happened a year ago.
A year ago.
The DH pitching rule, yep. They did change for him.
Yep, the Otani rule.
And Ken did make the point that with probably another renegotiation of the collective bargaining agreement coming up after next season, you can change all those rules again however you want to structure the international signing bonus. You know, they're going to have to decide between them and the players' union how they want that to look going forward. But as of now, if you're going to sign Roki Sasaki, it's likely taking all or close to all of your bonus pool, and you won't be able to sign anyone else from January 15th until December 15th of next year.
Today is Rule 5 Day as well, is it not?
Yeah. Padres have a couple of prospects, players.
They need to add
Ryan Burgert.
They need to add to the 40-man today.
Or they will be eligible to be taken away in the Rule 5 draft coming up at the winter meetings in a few weeks. So I do believe the Padres have a couple of slots available on their 40-man roster.
I saw Jagger Haynes was a name that was mentioned potentially. You said Ryan Burgert
was a pitcher that's on the list as well. Guys that you'll probably want to protect. I mean, certainly, you know, AJ will use slots that are available to him, whether he can protect everybody. You know, you make that decision about, I don't think he's going to get taken, so we don't have to protect him, but he might get taken, so we better put him on our 40-man roster. And that's for, is to give players either an opportunity to advance in their own team, or if you're blocked, then give another team a chance to take you and, you know, fill their hole and get you to the big leagues possibly next year as a Rule 5 draft pick.
Yeah, our walk-off just tweets, the Orioles and Dodgers are the leading candidates to sign Corbin Burns.
Told you.
Bless.
Soto, Burns,
Willie.
Sasaki, Adamas. It's not the future I'm looking forward to.
No.
And it may not ever come to pass, but
we'll be here.
They can afford it.
Regardless.
If they want to do it, they can afford to do it.
All right, let that sink in. Look forward to watching Shohei win an MVP this week, too, just to add to your holiday
feelings.
Well,
that's clearly happening.
Yeah. Yeah, add to the holiday spirit for all of you.
All right, we got Annie and Elston coming up next. That's it for us. We will be back tomorrow morning, the Wednesday edition of Ben and Woods at 6 a.m. For Paul Reindel, for Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Thanks for joining us on the Big Effing Deal Morning Show right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.